Would you please open to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read a verse there, then we're going to hop over to Romans. Read a verse there. We're going to talk tonight. Well, you'll figure it out here in just a moment after you read these passages. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We walk by faith, not by sight. Now look over in Romans. Romans chapter 1. Pick this up in verse 15. "So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek," or the Gentile. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Well, we read a moment ago that we walk by faith, not by sight. Then we see here that the just shall live by faith. Well, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, then you are justified, you're just. Therefore, those of us who are Christians, we're supposed to walk by faith and live by faith. Basically, it's saying the same thing. Walk by faith, live by faith. We've heard a whole lot of sermons over the years, well, at least I have, about, well, I've got to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Got to walk by faith and so forth. Heard all kinds of faith messages. But I'm going to share something tonight about this aspect of living by faith that I venture to say is possible a lot of people, a lot of Christians, maybe the majority of Christians, have never heard. And it's an aspect of this whole concept of living by faith that is easy to neglect based in part on how we've been taught. Now, I'm not saying that we've been taught incorrectly. I mean, yeah, there have been some really strange faith sermons over the years. But we haven't been taught completely. There's more to it than what we've heard or what most of us have heard. Now, when it comes to living by faith, sometimes Christians want to put degrees on it. What I mean is, well, that guy there, you know, he's on television, he travels the world and preaches, and so he needs, you know, super faith. And I could never have the kind of faith he has because I'm not called to preach. Well, that's not true. Here's what I mean. When we get born again, it doesn't matter who you are, where you are. When we get born again, there's no such thing as a spiritual birth defect. Now, in the natural, sometimes babies are born with what they call birth defects. But in the realm of the spirit, that never happens. Ever. I hope you hear this. It never happens. And the reason it doesn't happen is because of the source of our Father. In the natural, the reason that a baby is born with a birth defect is because there was something wrong in the cell structure of the mom, the dad, or both that was passed on to that baby. And as those cells began dividing and so forth, the defect in those cells began to show forth in that baby. But with God, that never happens because He's perfect, and it is impossible for Him to father a child who has a spiritual birth defect. That means right there, we have no excuses because we all start at the same place and we are 100% equal in the realm of the Spirit. Our calls are different as far as what God has set aside for us in this life and as far as ministry is concerned. Our calls are different, but as far as where we are when we get born again and how we start out, there are no spiritual birth defects and we are all on an even plane. What we do from that point on determines how we live. The further and further I go, and I've shared things like this before, I'm finding out, I mean, I know this now more than I ever did. There are no excuses, period, for a believer. Now, there may be reasons, but there are no excuses. I cannot stand before God and say, God, I couldn't serve you the way that you wanted because I didn't have the kind of faith that you gave to, you know, so-and-so who pastors a church of 50,000 people. And God's just going to look at you and say, I didn't call you to pastor a church of 50,000 people. And when you were born again, you started off at the same spiritual level as that guy pastoring a church of 50,000 people. There was no difference between the two of you. It's just that some people press into God for the development of their faith more than what other people do. And in the strictest of terms, you know, we talk about unbelief and so forth. And we've heard a lot of sermons about, you know, well, you know, faith versus unbelief and so on. But in the strictest of terms, and I'm getting really, really picky here, really picky. There's no such thing as unbelief. You say, well, what do you mean by that? You know, the Bible talks about unbelief. Well, I'll explain. You see, you're always believing something. It's either the Word of God or something that's not in the Word of God. And there are a lot of Christians who have been confronted with, well, you know, they're going through a something, whatever it is, and the, things about Scripture are brought up. Well, I just don't know about that. Well, I mean, I'm trying to believe. Well, those are just excuses that they think will allow them some sort of get-out-of-jail-free card, as though God will say, oh, okay, I hear what you're saying. Well, don't worry about it. Don't worry. You know, it's okay. Don't just forget about it. I'll go ahead and do it for you. You don't need faith. I mean, I realize there's something wrong with you. You got a problem. So, you know, I'll pick up the slack. Well, no, not really. I mean, it's not like that. You either believe what God's Word says or you believe something else. But you are believing something. Now, when it comes to us, in fact, look over in Luke chapter 6. When it comes to us living by faith, walking by faith, don't you think that there is an expectation on God's part that we will do this? The just shall live by faith, will walk by faith. I mean, it's in Scripture, so therefore, it would not be wrong for us to hold to the position of, okay, well, God expects this of me. Here's the problem for many. Living by faith cannot be done by our definition. It can only be done according to what we see in the Word of God. There's no option. Now, when we get born again, well, you know how a lot of Christians talk about, you know, well, I'm God's servant. I'm serving the Lord. And I'm born again. Praise God. I'm serving Jesus. Well, here's the problem with that. That might be what you want to believe, but the truth is, when you became born again, you did not become a servant of God. You became a child of God. Becoming a servant of God requires far more. Look here in Luke chapter 6, look at verse 46. Jesus says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God." And here he says, "Why are you calling me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I say?" See, when you're born again, you become a child of God. That's not debatable. But we don't become a servant of God until we're doing what God says. And that's a major challenge. What I just said right there is that when you get born again, you don't become a servant of God. You're born again, you're a child of God. You don't become a servant of God until you're doing what God says. Do you realize that there are Christians all over the world who have never heard of such a thing? The assumption is, if I'm going to church, or if I'm not committing sin, I'm a servant of God, I'm living for Jesus. What Christian in the right mind is going to stand up and say, yeah, I'm born again, but there ain't no way I'm living for Him? If we had it, all right, everybody who's living for Jesus, you're His servant, raise your hand. You could be in a sanctuary of 10,000 Christians and everybody's going to raise their hand. That's me, amen, I'm the Lord's servant. But if we're not doing what He says, then we are not His servant. Well, right along with that, if we're not doing what He says, we aren't living by faith. Well, let's take this a little bit further. I want you to think about how we typically judge a person's level of faith, especially preachers. When we see the blind receiving sight, the deaf hearing, the lame walking, those with cancer being healed of the cancer, those with whatever the problem would be, physical sickness, being healed of that, when the maimed are made whole, even when the dead are raised, isn't the tendency to look at those people and say, wow, they are walking in faith? Isn't that kind of how we look at it? Now, it's not wrong to say they're walking in faith, but our tendency is to look at those things and use the manifestation of signs, wonders, and gifts of the Spirit as the measuring stick of whether or not a person is walking by faith. But that's not the complete story. In fact, that's a little bit further down the list than what we've been led to believe. And I want to show you here in Scripture. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4. See, even for us as believers, personally, not just other people, but for us personally, the validation of our walk in Christ and our faith life is not simply the number of healings and miracles and all of that which take place as we pray for other people and minister to other people. I'll show you what it is. In Ephesians chapter 4, now we already know, the just shall live by faith, and that we're supposed to live or walk by faith, not by sight. But look here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. And that you put on the new man, or live according to the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see this? Now I want you to leave your finger here and turn over to Matthew chapter 7. What we're going to see is really interesting. Matthew chapter 7. Now remember, we've been kind of trained, taught, to judge a person's faith walk, and even our own, by the amount of power we see demonstrated. By the healings, and the devils being cast out, and the lame walking, and the maimed being made whole, and so forth. And when we see those things, we have this tendency to say, oh, well, they're way up there on that faith scale. I'm not there yet, but someday I will be there. When I start seeing those things happen, then I'll know that my faith is, well, like theirs. But look at this. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, what day? Day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Well, now hold on a minute. These were people that were casting out devils and getting people healed in Jesus' name. He says they're workers of iniquity. Now notice this. There are a lot of people going to stand before me on Judgment Day, and they're going to be scratching their head trying to figure out why they're going to be cast into the lake of fire forever. And they're going to look at me and say, but Jesus, man, I was used in the gifts. I prophesied. I spoke your word to congregations. But not only that, I did great things. Jesus, I got people healed. You know, I did many wondrous things, all in your name. All in your name. And he said, depart from me, for I never knew you. Now, holding your finger here, let's turn back over to Ephesians and look at this. Verse 24 of chapter 4. Put on the new man, live according to your new nature, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See that? Now, again, you know, we'll be going back and forth here. Matthew chapter 7. Look what is not in here. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, I have lived by the new man according to righteousness and true holiness. And I will say unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew. Have you noticed the righteousness and true holiness is not in here? But the demonstrations are. You see, one of the ways to judge a person's faith walk is a life of righteousness and holiness as described in Scripture. And where he says here, put on, now you do realize Scripture, I mean, this came from God, right? Now, even though the Holy Spirit moved on the Apostle Paul to write what we're reading here in Ephesians, that still came from God. So God, through the Apostle Paul, is telling us, put on, live according to the new nature you received from me when you were born again, which, after my pattern, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now remember what Jesus said, why call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I say? What is something he has said? Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We walk by faith, not by sight. The just shall live by faith. Therefore, if I'm living by faith, if I'm truly living by faith, then I'm living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, including Ephesians 4:24, where he says, live according to that new nature on the inside of you, which is created after the pattern, out of the exactness of God's righteousness and true holiness. That right there is a part of living by faith. And Jesus, he says in Matthew chapter 7, hey, you may do power works. I mean, there may be demonstrations of power in your life. The problem is, you were not living by righteousness and true holiness. He says, I never knew you. Now, you want to find out a way to really get to know him? You start living by righteousness and true holiness, who you've been created according to, the pattern of God. You start living according to Christ in you. You start living according to that new man, and you're going to come to the place of truly knowing him, knowing who he is to you, who you are in him, and what's described over here in Matthew chapter 7, the depart from me, that's never going to happen. Ever. Ever. In fact, you could live your whole life, your whole Christian life, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, worshiping, fasting, meditating the word, all these things, and not one time see anybody healed when you pray for them. But as long as you are living by the righteousness and the true holiness, you're living by faith. That is a part of living by faith. But we have this whole thing kind of twisted around to where we've been trained to look for the demonstrations of stuff, and then we say, well, that person must be, have a, super faith walk. Well, they obviously have a level of faith at operation. We can't debate that. However, if the righteousness and true holiness is not there, they are not living by faith. And again, I'm talking about righteousness and true holiness as described and outlined in Scripture. Not by man's religion and legalism and so on and so forth. Now, let's think about this. In Ephesians 4:24, where he says, look, now this is God. Live according to the righteousness and true holiness that constitutes your new nature. Now this is his instruction. Why you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Here's what he's saying. He says, live this way. If I'm supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, this right here is a part of living by faith. Now, this means you can't live just any old way you want to, be mean to people, so forth, and, well, that's just how I am. Well, my family, that's part of a family trait. I've got news for you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Don't you be blaming earthly parents for this stuff. You're doing it on purpose. You say, well, I just can't help it. Now, wait a minute. With God, all things are possible. See, every time we come up with an excuse, God has already put something in Scripture that deals with it. It's like you can't get away from this. That's just the way it is. If I'm going to live by faith, so, hey, listen, we're having a party. Why don't you guys come over? It's going to, well, I don't know. Oh, come on. Family birthday party. You got to be there. And besides, we're having it on Saturday, not Sunday, so you can go to church. Like, well, okay. So you show up at the party. And, you're the only ones, you and your spouse, the only ones that are Christians in the whole family. So it's the two of you and 55 other people. And I mean, the beer and the booze. I mean, it's just, man, people are just partying down. Hey, have a beer. No, thanks. Oh, come on. Just one ain't going to hurt you. No, thanks. I don't get it. Why are you people so boring? Why won't you have fun with the rest of the family? Now, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Do you know what a correct answer would be? I mean, you'd give many correct answers. One of those correct answers would be this. Because I'm living by faith. I'm living by faith. Now, that right there is going to say, you're what? Living by faith. Yeah, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Jesus said, why you call me Lord, Lord? Don't do the things that I say. We're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God said in his word, I'm supposed to live according to righteousness and true holiness. And this is why I am not drinking your booze. I'm living by faith. You follow this logic? Are you starting to understand this is a whole different perspective of living by faith than the way we've been taught over the years? Let's take a look at some other things that are related to this. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, some of you probably already have a good idea what verse we're going to look at in 1 Peter chapter 2, but we're going to look at it anyway. Now, remember, we're talking about living by faith. In 1 Peter 2, verse 24, talking about Jesus, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So what we do is we say, yes, amen. By his stripes I was healed. God sent his word and healed me and delivered me from all my destructions. And Jesus took my sins and bore my sicknesses and bore my infirmities and all this, I'm living by faith, and according to the word of God, I call myself healed. Now, isn't that part of the way we've been taught in the past? It's not wrong. So, we don't have a problem with that one. Then over there in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And there are some other verses about promises to, you know, help us and meet our needs and so on and so forth. So here I am, you know, I'm facing a financial problem, and oh man, we need to do this, we need to do that, got to get this thing fixed, and got to have money for the school supplies for the kids, and I mean, just on and on it goes. But we look at the checkbook, and we're not supposed to be governed by that checkbook now. I'm not supposed to let that bank account tell me how to live. Now, I know I can't spend money that's not there, but my faith is not in my bank account. My faith is in my provider, my Jehovah Jireh. And my God supplies all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So, financial need to buy supplies for the kids, I call you met in Jesus' name. Now, I'm not making light of this. This is part of what it means. It's what we're supposed to do. This is a part of living by faith. It's not wrong to make those kind of confessions and declarations. It's not at all wrong. But now look over in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. And in Ephesians chapter 4, we're just going to start reading in verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Okay, now, what are we reading here? That we are supposed to forgive as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us, and we are supposed to walk in love. You know, in 1 John it says, you know, in the same way that God loved us. So therefore, here's a scenario. I don't understand how in the world can you forgive those people after what they did to you. I don't understand how in the world can you forgive that man after what he did to your children. I don't understand. How in the world can you forgive that woman after what she did to you when you were married? Hey, I heard a story. You're not going to believe this one. Well, yeah, you will. There's this man. That's true. There's a man who got, he's been married like for over 20-something years. Well, stuff came out about his wife and it wasn't good. She was doing things married women shouldn't be doing. Well, you know, anyway, divorce. So he begins attending this divorce recovery group for men. Now, it's a Christian organization held in a church. A divorce recovery group for men. And in this room, during like one of the sessions, this is your opportunity, okay, to get it off your chest. Here in this room, it's okay. Anyway. So they would go around, well, you know, she did and she did and she did. And so it came this guy's turn. And he stands up. He says, well, guys, here's what I went through. And he starts telling the story. Now, I'm not going to repeat it here. But it's one of those, you have got to be kidding me stories. Well, he gets done. And he says, so that's kind of, you know, what I've been going through, what I've been facing. And one of the men in the... Now, this is supposed to be for Christians, okay? Christians. You know what a Christian is, right? People have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. One of the men in the group says, what? She did all that? I would have killed her. Now, we laugh, but the guy was serious. I would have killed her. And the fellow that had been saying all this stuff, you know, sharing his life story, he said, right about then, the group leader stood up and said, okay, now hold on. And tried to rein things in here. Okay, now, how in the world can you forgive her after all that stuff that she did? Here is a one of many correct answers. I'm living by faith. Because if man's supposed to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, and it tells me right here that I'm supposed to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, as God has forgiven me, then this is a part of living by faith. Meaning, if I don't do this, I'm not living by faith. At least not the way I think I am. Now, we're going to read another one here. But see, this right here ought to be opening some people's eyes to help us understand why it is my faith just doesn't seem to be working the way those preachers said it would work. Well, it's because the preachers have only told us half the story. Look here, one more now. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, I tell you what, we'll even look at a couple more. This one and one more. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, this is an instruction from God, is it not? It has come from the mouth of God, has it not? Therefore, I am supposed to be living by this word. I am supposed to be studying to show myself approved unto God. I'm supposed to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, this is what I'm supposed to do. I know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But let's just kind of set that one aside for a moment. This verse 15, let's just say it, look at it from a different angle. This is not about developing my faith. This is about obedience unto living by faith. As I study the word, this is a part of living by faith. Because this has come forth from the mouth of God. I just don't understand why you got to spend so much time reading your Bible. Well, because that's just what a Christian's supposed to do. Okay, yes, but that's really not the best answer. Here is a correct answer. The reason I spend so much time reading my Bible is because I'm living by faith. And see, every time we do whatever is outlined in Scripture and somebody wants to know why, a correct answer is because I'm living by faith. Well, what do you mean you're living by faith? And you'll get that question not so much just from the lost. You'll get that question from a whole bunch of Christians. Well, I'm living by faith too. Well, are you studying your Bible? Well, I read it Saturday night before I go to church the next day. Yeah. Well, I heard you talking about, you know, your Uncle Guido. Have you ever forgiven him? I will never forgive that man. Okay. You're not living by faith. Don't you tell me I'm not living by faith. Who are you to judge? I can prove it. Matthew 4:4. And whatever else is in Scripture. There it is. I look over at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, here in Hebrews chapter 10, just pick it up in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. All right. So here's the question. I don't understand why you guys have to go to church so much. What is a correct answer? I'm living by faith. Therefore, if you are a casual, when I feel like it, when I'm kind of in the mood, when fill in the blank for whatever else, then I will attend. Do you understand? You are not truly living by faith the way you may think. Without faith, faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Therefore, knowing that to be true, that's in Hebrews, that verse I just quoted. That being true, it's impossible, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That doesn't mean he's going to hate you. It just means he's not pleased with our lack of living by faith. Be a way to say it. So, I'm supposed to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, and here is a passage. It tells me I'm not to forsake the assembling of myself together with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Then, along with that, I see all these other things about forgiving and loving and, you know, just on and on it goes. But God has said that without faith, it's just not possible to please. And the word impossible, once again, if you remember from Sunday, the word impossible, it means impossible. So therefore, I'm not pleasing God. Oh, he loves me and he takes pleasure in me, but I'm not pleasing him because I'm not living by faith the way I think I am. Because I obviously, my inconsistent church attendance does not fit this description here. That means I'm not living by this word of God. Now some people take this and twist around. Well, he says you can't go on vacation. He says you can't do that, you can't. Now I never said that, and you know I never said that. But let's be honest here. We know what this is talking about, and we know exactly what's going on. And I'm not pointing fingers here. I mean the body of Christ all over. We know the difference, all right? This is not a message of condemnation here tonight. None of this is. See, if God is a rewarder, and the rewards, call them blessings if you want, but if it's based in part on us pleasing him by our faith walk, and I am not living by every word that he says, then isn't it possible I am eliminating myself from blessings? Yeah, I mean, nobody wants to answer that one. The truth is, I am. See, when I think sometimes we read some verses and some passages so much, we never really get a hold of the depth of what God is saying. Like when Jesus said, man shall not live by the natural things alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Now we read that and, you know, hey, amen, praise God, I've got to live by the word of God, and we just go on with our life. And yet, I mean, to put it in human terms, I'm guessing Jesus is sitting up there on the throne thinking, you didn't really get it, did you? When I said you're supposed to be living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, that is exactly what I meant. It's not pick and choose. It's not find what you like and live by it. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What we've been trained to do, and the preachers haven't been misleading us on purpose, we just haven't been taught this aspect of it, this side of what it really means to live by faith. So what we've been taught is, well, if you've got sickness, then you got to find all the healing verses and focus on those and confess those and so on and so forth to see your healing manifest. Well, amen. I agree. No problem there. Well, you're struggling financially and whatever. Yeah, well, you got to find the promises for provision and all that. And you know, man, get those sown deep into you and quote them and stand on those promises. Amen. You do. That's what you have to do. It's right. Are you struggling? I mean, you lack of peace. Well, find the peace verses. I mean, focusing on those. Anyway, here's what I'm getting at. Faith that we try to develop by focusing only on select passages that identify a specific need, what we're actually doing is circumventing the sum total of what it means to live by faith. For example, again, I find all the provision verses. I've got to memorize, sown deep, confessed, believing, trusting God to see my needs met. All the healing verses, sown into my spirit and, you know, believing and standing, confessing and so on and so forth. But the thing about forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, I show up, you know, every month or so to church. Are you seeing there's a contradiction here? When I say I'm living by faith, honestly, guys, I mean, look, I'm not standing up here and trying to present myself as being somebody who's been living by every word that's been recorded in here. I mean, I'm learning this too, and I'm seeing it. But anyway, what I'm getting at is, when we say that we're living by faith, generally what we're doing is, we're saying, I'm living by faith as it has been presented to me by a preacher concerning these specific subject areas. Healing, peace, deliverance, provision, whatever it would be. But Jesus, he's up there on the throne and he's saying, hold on here, that's a start. But I said, every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Now you're doing great with everything that you're doing. And, you know, with that I'm well pleased. However, you need to understand, you've got to take it beyond that. You can't keep holding those grudges. You can't keep walking in unforgiveness. I don't care who it is or what they've done to you. I said in my word that you are to forgive as you've been forgiven. Now, if you don't do that, then you are not and never will be truly walking by faith. Well, you know, a preacher lied to me back, you know, 35 years ago. I just don't trust preachers no more. I ain't going to church. Well, you know, you're not going to hell for that, but you sure aren't living by faith. Because I said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And really, that's not the only verse about being together. There are other verses, I mean, even prophetic verses in the Old Testament, things that David wrote about, you know, being in the congregation, declaring the Word of God, singing the praises in the congregation. Well, you can't do that if you're not in the congregation. It's kind of simple. Now, some people could get really weird legalistic about some of these things, misinterpret certain scriptures and say, well, you got to do it this way. No, just leave it in context. Leave it in context. And here's what I'm getting at. I can see now more clearly than ever why a lot of people, Christians, might say something like, well, I tried living by faith, but I got to tell you, it just doesn't work. Well, it does work. But again, we have to do it the way God has identified in Scripture, not the way that we think it's supposed to be done. Well, yes, I know it says such and such, but here's how I see it. You know what? You're just revealing more about yourself and why your faith isn't working. When it says forgive, you got to forgive. When it says, look, we just go through here, we read these things, okay? We see this. And when we see things in the Word of God relative to how we're supposed to live as Christians, then you know what? We're supposed to do it that way. That is a part of living by faith. It's not just confessing for my blessings. It's not just confessing for my healing. It is every word that's proceeded forth out of the mouth of God. When praise God. I think I better stop right there. There's more, but it's just going to, let's just say that it's going to take us a whole lot further than what we need to do tonight. See, this whole aspect of living by faith that I'm sharing with you, it's not hard. It's just different than the way that we've heard it. There hasn't been a whole lot of focus on I mean, they may even say, well, you're supposed to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, but a lot of the preachers haven't gone into some of these other verses about the holiness, the righteousness, the forgiveness, the studying the Word, and so forth. That's all a part of the Word of God. To our credit or whatever, we just haven't been taught beyond the popular faith teaching. But when you begin to look at it like what we've seen tonight, you begin to realize, okay, the things that we've heard, that's like a starting point. We've got to take it beyond that. And we've got to realize that if it's in here, if this is something, you know, Jesus talked about and whatever, I mean, we've got to do this. It has to become a part of our lives. Now, for some people, they might just say, well, I just don't know if I can do it. Well, number one, you can do it. Because you can. But a lot of folks, you know what? They just kind of settle into a routine in life. And they don't want the routine upset. I'm doing enough already. I'm not sinning, so what's the problem? Hey, praise God you're not sinning. You're a lot further along than a lot of Christians. But how many blessings are we missing out on because we're not qualifying ourselves to be recipients of the manifestation of the rewards that God has promised in His Word? This is a learning process. As you go through the Word and you see things, it's like, yeah, you know, I need to work on this one here. The righteousness and the true holiness, I mean, really, that's not difficult. For a Christian to say, I just can't quit sinning, I mean, if that is true, then you need to get born again. You're not really saved. Because it's out of the power of our new nature that we can stop sinning and not yield to the temptation. Well, this tonight, really, I guess you could say, is an introduction to what it really means to live by faith. And now, it's up to each of us who've heard this to get into the Word, to find out what God has said. And if there's something in there that we're not applying to our lives, then we need to apply it, we need to do it, because that is a part of living by faith.